Welcome back over here. Okay, so we're up to $1 on the base. I won $1 on the base, nine lines from the bottom. Lines from the top. So the last thing we talked about then is how what we.
If you wanted to argue that Debbie agrees with Rabbi Akiva when it comes to
Shavuos, how do we know that? We don't explicitly find any place where Debbie says so. So we said it's a svara.
We know that they disagree on Yediyas Atumah
because they have different ways of darshaning from the Pasuk V'ne'elam what kind of helam, what kind of not knowingness makes you chayav for the korban, which we're going to take up again on Heyom Ra'ah.
What else do they disagree on?
There's two things in our Mishnah that we said are the subject of disagreement. The Yediyas at the beginning, the first part of our Mishnah, that is Yediyas Atumah and Shavuos.
Okay.
So we said that Rabbi Shmuel holds that you do bring a korban for any of the Yediyas Atumah, not just where you didn't know you were Tomei, but also where you didn't know that this is called Shimur, this is the basic Mikdash. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva holds that when it comes to Shavuos, you chayev a korban for any kind of shavur that was false, whether it was about the past or about the future, whether it was about something. Unknowingly, we're talking about. If it was knowingly, you're going to get malchus.
Right.
But unknowingly, it wouldn't be a difference whether it was something about the past, I ate this or I didn't eat this, or in the future, I will eat this or I won't eat this. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds that not, only for the future. So we asked, if we're going to say that one part of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel, and the other part of Rabbi Akiva is like Rabbi Akiva, so we said apparently Rabbi himself holds, or Kahana had said, that Rabbi himself apparently holds according to those opinions. When it comes to Yediyas Atumah, we know for a fact that Rebbe disagrees with Rabbi Akiva on that, because he and Rabbi Akiva have different ways of darshaning the process, which results in different din, which we're going to take up again on Heyom Ra'ah. But how do we know that Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Akiva when it comes to Shavuot? And the answer is, we met with a svara. Given that they both darshan psukim in the same way, they both darshan psukim using the method of ribui miur to ribui.
They should agree.
Then they should agree on the resulting halacha. We brought a proof from an example involving Pidyon Aben, where we see that Rebbe uses ribui miyut, and we said that when it comes to Shavuot, Rebbe Akiva also uses ribui miyut ribui. So therefore, it should be the same. So the methodology is the same. The conclusion has to be the same. But now we're going to ask. Who says, where do you see, why are you taking it as a given that Rebbe always uses ribui or miur to ribui? We see other places, we see at least one of the Gemara is going to bring one other place, there's actually a few other places, where Rebbe himself, in fact, uses klal or prat or klal. So maybe he doesn't agree.
Ribui?
So we see there's one case where he uses ribui. How do we know that? That's the case always. So omale ravina la meimer, Rebbe dorish ribui or miuti. You're telling me that Rebbe darshins according to the ribui miyut ribui method, which again, as we said yesterday, means that you're only going to exclude the least similar thing to the miyut, as opposed to klal prat klal, where they have to have more things in common.
More or just?
Well, they have to be fairly. You have to find the commonality in the prat, and then. You find the commonality in the prat, and you apply it to the klal, as opposed to ribui miyut ribui, where you're going to be marred by everything except for the least similar thing. So we see that Rebbe himself, v'hod Rebbe kol your proti darish, we see that Rebbe himself darshins using klal or prat. D'tanya, as we learn in a braisa, we know the Torah tells us that if an eved ivri wants to stay on beyond the 6 years, then you pierce his ear. And the pasuk says you pierce his ear with a marseya. The marseya literally means an awl, like you use for punching holes in leather or whatever. But we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says marseya, aimly ela marseya, you would only know if the pasuk, if you didn't have a klal or prat klal or a ribui miyut ribui, you would think it means it has to davka be a marseya, davka and all. Minayin the rabbis has soil. How do we know that you can also include a soil, which is a short piece
Rabbi
of wood? Hold on. We're going to see who says what. We have two different opinions.
So wait, let's go with.
Okay, we have like this.
Hold on.
The pasuk starts off by saying you bring him to the door. The rotza adonav es ozne b'marseya. It says his master should pierce his ear with a marseya. Actually, you have and you have a different pasuk. You have the lakachta. You have a pasuk that says the lakachta. That's what it is. Rather, we're darshaning not the one in Mishmotim, but rather the one in the pasuk in Parashas Re'eh that deals with this. Where the pasuk says the lakachta, some might say, you should take the maaseya, the nasata ba'ozne v'adela, so you put it through his ear and into the door. So you have there either a klal of prophet klal or ribui miyut ribui, because you have the word lakachta, which implies anything that you could pick up. Then you have b'marseya, which is only a marseya, only an all. And then you have an asata ba'ozne v'adelos, again, that's anything that can go through his ear and into the door.
Okay.
So if we use the ribui miyut ribui method, we're going to say that everything is allowed except for the one thing that is the least similar to a marseya, we're going to see. So the lakachta, so ainli ela marseya, minayin l'rabas ha'soil, how do we know that you can include also a sharp piece of wood, v'hasira, or thorn, hamachat, or needle, v'hamakdeach, or a drill, v'hamachdev, or stylus. How do we know that? Tamabam, v'lokachta. Therefore, the pasuk begins by saying v'lokachta, which is a klal, or ribui, it's a ribui. No, v'lokachta is a ribui. It means anything that you can pick up. Look, kol davash, and no kach b'yad. It means anything that can be picked up in the hand. Divrei Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. This is what Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda says. The only thing that he is memayit, Tosfos mentions on the basis of the Gemara and Kedushin that discusses this, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda would hold the one thing that we're memayit is you can't use a sam. You can't use some kind of potion, some kind of acid or whatever, yeah, that would burn a hole through the ear. That not, because you can't say on that the lakata.
That's dissimilar.
So that's the most dissimilar thing, and therefore we're memayit that. But anything else that can make a hole, yes. But that's Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda.
Rebuy gives you more possibility.
Exactly. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, no, we darshan is klal of prata klal, marseya, ma marseya miyuchad shal maskus, what is the one thing we can say that a marseya is made out of metal, af kol shal maskus, then it means anything else, fine. You don't have to use dafka a marseya, you do have a klal of prata klal. Because Rebbe darshans it that way, that's what we're saying. Rebbe holds that it's a klal of prata klal.
And
therefore he's going to say, so we have to look at what is the property of a marseya, as opposed to anything else that pierces, is that it's made out of metal. Therefore, it has to be that you use something that's made out of metal. So fine, you can use the last three things we mentioned in the Braisa, the needle, or the drill, or the stylus, fine, you could use those, they're also made out of metal. But you can't use a sharp piece of wood or a thorn because those are not made out of metal. Aaron, how about you let me explain it?
Because you're doing it. Let me
try to explain again. If we say that we do ribui, we're generalizing, then miyot, then we're taking out something, and ribui, we're generalizing again, it means we're going to include everything except for one thing that we have to take out. Because there's a miyut, because there's something where the Torah says in the middle one particular thing, it means we're going to find the one thing that is not at all similar to that one thing, and that we're going to take out. Everything else can be included. So if we say, therefore, if we go that way, that's Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, would say, of all the things that can make holes, which one is the least similar to a marseya, to an oar, which has a sharp point? The one that has the least similarity to that would be acid, for example, something that would burn a hole through the ear. Therefore, he would say you can't use that, but you can use anything else. Anything else that has a sharp point and makes a hole. Whereas Rebbe is going to say, no, we do klal of prata klal. We have the Torah tells us there's going to be a general type of thing that you can use. Then it's going to limit and say, but only things that are similar to this thing that we're going to mention. And then we have another klal to make it that, again, we're going to have a general rule that includes other things that are similar to this one. So we have to figure that an oil is made out of metal. Therefore, the Torah is implying that whatever you use has to be made out of metal. Not like Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda that you can use wood because it has a sharp point. No, it has to be something very similar to a marseya, namely it's made out of metal.
Very simple. I mean, we will use it mostly inclusive.
Yes.
And a quote for the product is mostly inclusive.
Yeah. Okay, and in fact, we say, but my community, what is the underlying machlokes? Rebbe Dorish Klaler Prati, Rebbe Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, Dorish Rebuy or Milti. So therefore, we see that in that case, Rebbe uses Klaler Prat. And by the way, the Mephoshim points out that's not the only example in Shas that you have where Rebbe uses Klaler Prat. We have other examples in a few other places in Shas.
There you go.
All right, thank you. You have other examples in Shas where Rebbe uses Klaler Prat. So what are you telling? So what are you telling me that he holds like Rabbi Akiva because you find by one example by Pidyon Abdan? But if we find in some cases he uses one and in some cases he uses the other, what makes us say that he necessarily holds like Rabbi Akiva when it comes to Shavuos, where Rabbi Akiva uses Rabbi Meir?
Yeah. What is it intrinsically in the word
that makes Reboy? Because
Miyot implies you're excluding one thing.
Trap
implies you're specifying a class of things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, in other words, if you exclude one thing,
it can only be one thing.
Yeah.
And
if you
exclude many
things. Right, indeed. Okay. The answer is Ain. Yes, you're right. Actually, Ba'al Makol or Prati Darish. As a general rule, yes, Rebbe does actually darshan Klal Prat. So now we're rejecting what we thought before. We thought before that Rebbe always holds of Ribri Miyot Ribri. Therefore, we had reason to say that he agrees with Rebbe Akiva about Shavuos. Now we're saying that no. There was a specific reason in that first example that we brought, Pidyon Abdan, why he used Ribri Miyot Ribri. As opposed to every other case
right.
he would hold, which brings us back to, in that case, he doesn't necessarily agree with Rebbe Akiva. So then we're going to take that back up. But first, we're going to explain why. The reason why, when it comes to Pidyon Abdan, why Rebbe changes his usual shitta and instead uses ribui, miyut ribui, is kedetana dvei Rabbi Shmuel. It's based on what the Tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel taught. The Tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel. Because the words that we use that we had in yesterday's Gemara for the ribui miyut ribui or for the klal of prat or klal, they're not in that order in the Torah. They're not in the order first the klal, then the prat, then the klal, or first the ribui, then the miyut, then the ribui. They were out of order. The pasuk said like this: Duyav, the ones who are redeemed, even chodesh tifter, from a month old you should redeem the erech hachamesh shkolim with the value of 5 shkolim. So you have a klal, and then a prat, or a ribui, and then a miyut.
And we put them in there.
We had to rearrange them in order to make it into. So Rebbe holds, when you have to rearrange, then you can't use it as a klal or prat. And we have another example.
Why should you use it as a miyut ribui?
Because a miyut ribui, miyut ribui is a more general kind of thing that you can do. Namely, the Tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a brayta of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel.
So it depends on each pasuk, in other words.
It depends on the order. Bamayim shnei palmim. Now, like this, you have the Torah tells us that the Torah tells us when it comes to kosher and non-kosher fish, the Torah starts off by saying these you can eat from zet terchel mikol hashav amoyim. This you can eat from what's in the water, which is a klal or a ribui. Then it continues by yamu vanacholim. Then it continues by yamu vanamayim by yamu vanacholim. It again it says the word bamayim in the water, which is another generality.
Right.
Then it says it twice. Then it says by yamu vanacholim in the oceans and in the streams in the oceans and in the rivers. So again, you have two klalim and then a prat. So he says ein ze klal prat ela ribui miyot. The fact that it's in that order means that we cannot use it as a klal of prat or klal. We have to instead darshan it as a ribui miyut ribui. And the practical consideration the Gemara mentions in Kolin because you have two klalim and then a prat, and therefore it can't be a klal of prat or klal. Would mean it's in that order. If the Torah had said that these you can eat from what's in the water, anything that's in the streams or anything that's in the lakes or the rivers. And anything that's in the water, whatever, then we would say it's a real klal, a proper klal. Because it's not, because you have the two klalim and then the prat, Rabbi Shmuel, Tanit, Ve Rabbi Shmuel holds, then that's not a klal, a proper klal. That is a ribui miyot ribui. And the practical consideration the Gemara mentions in Cholin over there is, what about if you have, for example, so what if you have bodies of water that are not flowing at all, where the water is just, where the water just sits in one place and there's no inflow or outflow? You would be allowed to eat creatures that grow in the water in such things, even if they don't have fins and scales.
Is Rabbi Shmuel the only one to use the sequence of the pasuk to determine?
Yeah, the Gemara is going to say soon that the Rabbanon disagree with him on that. We're going to say in a second. Yeah. So no, because according to him, in other words, you have a ribui miyut ribui, that any kind of body of water that is in any way similar to yamim and necholim. Streams and lakes and streams.
Mm-hmm.
There you have the rule that you can't eat something unless it has fins and scales, implying, but if you have some kind of body of water which is completely dissimilar to that, as not at all similar to Yamim and Nechalim, namely where it has the water stays in one place and there's no inflow or outflow, unlike the Cholim where the water flows, unlike Yamim where at least you have water flowing in and out, then the rules of snapper because Kesis, the rules of kosher to fish don't apply. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says.
I mean, a catfish farm.
That's it, because that would be. If you have creatures that grow in such water, Rabbi Shmuel would say you're allowed to eat them. Because they're not, the Pasuk is not excluding those from being eaten. The Pasuk is saying only that if you're going to eat something that's in Yamim or Necholim, it has to have fins and scales, implying, but if you have something that grows in a place that's neither a Yam, that's not at all like a Yam and not at all like a Nahal, then you can. No, so it's not, you have a different issue called a yotzim and a tomatomi. So we're not talking about, for example, growing catfish over there, because the catfish grows from another catfish that ultimately lives in a river. It would have to be it would have to be one of those kinds of breeds that breeds only in such water, like certain like various kinds of worms, let's say, or whatever. Yeah. So when we get to in Chulin, Bez Hashem, we'll talk in more detail about this, what kinds of creatures
in Chulin and
this is Tamach Zion we're talking about, but yeah, okay. Anyway, the point is that by the same logic, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, you have the same kind of structure in the Pasuk, where you have two Cholim and then a Prat. Therefore, because of that, Rebbe holds in that case, you can't do a Klal or Prat, because it's out of order, you have to do a Ribui Miyot Ribui. Otherwise, when the words in the pasuk are in the expected order, klal or prat klal, then Rebbe holds you can do. You do klal or prat klal. Well, the Chachamim hold that even in a case like that, you don't do ribui miyot ribui. Because Amar v'Rabbanan, so what are the Rabbanan answer to that? Amar Avinah, k'da amri b'ma Rabba, they hold, like what we say in Eretz Yisrael, kol makam sh'ata motes sh'tei klolos ha'smuchos zelazeh, if you have, like this, two klolim one after the other, like this where it says b'mayim twice, one after the other, klal u'klal on the u'prat, hato prat b'neim b'dunim b'klal u'prat. What you do is, you rearrange it. You take the prat and stick it in between the two klolim and do a regular klal u'prat u'klal. So therefore, so therefore, back to when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, Rebbe held like Rebbe Shmuel. That's why he held of Ribu Miyot Ribu. Doesn't mean that everywhere else in Torah he would hold the same way. When it comes to Shavuos, we don't have that kind of structure. When we by Shavuos, the words that we're using over there, Venelam and Vayada and whatever, they're not in that form klal and then klal and then prat. Therefore, there's no reason to say that Rebbe would hold that you hold it, that you darshan it as ribui miyot ribui. You should assume he darshan it as klal or prat or klal. In which case, he might not necessarily agree with Rebbe Akiva.
Rebbe is not the chachamim here.
Chachamim over here means anybody against Rebbe Shmuel, right? So Rebbe Shmuel holds that the Torah itself will imply to us whether you're going to do a ribui miyot ribui or not by putting the words out of order. The Chachamim hold that, and Rebbe agrees with that. Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Shmuel on that.
Yes.
The other Chachamim don't have to agree with that either. Okay. By the way, Tosfos brings up an interesting point, which is, we say every day in davening, Rebbe Shmuel, I'm Rebbe Shloshes Yomidah Satona Dreshes.
Yeah.
Now we have an Agamara. It seems that he holds of a 14th one, Ribui Miyot Ribui.
Yeah.
We don't say that every day. So what's the answer? So Tosfos leaves it as a question. Various Mephoshim talk about different answers, including, for example, it may be a detail within Klal or Prat Klal or Shu. It ends up different halachas, but it could be when we say, one of the Yudim Amidus, Prat Klal or Prat Klal, and then there's a sub-rule within it called Ribui Miyot Ribui. That's one possibility. Another possibility, the Sefer HaKrisus says that maybe Rabbi Shmuel is only listing things that are universally agreed to by everybody. Here, not everybody agrees to Ribui Miyot Ribui, so therefore he doesn't list it. And a third possibility, I think the Charis Chaim brings up, is that not necessarily, is that you were mentioning Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel does not necessarily always represent Rabbi Shmuel's own opinion. It means the opinion of his yeshiva light, of his Chachmei HaYeshiva. It doesn't mean that he himself had to agree with it.
Very good.
Okay.
And the Hekesh isn't there also.
Yeah, that's true also. Okay, yeah. All right. Fine. Hashta de Amit Rebbe Kali Ukrati Darish. Fine. So if we've reached the point where we're saying that Rebbe prefers to darshan things using Klal or Prat Klal, well, then you're going to have necessity have a question. He obviously disagrees, therefore, with Rebbe Akiva on Shavuos. If anything, therefore, Rebbe Akiva, who says that you bring a korban for all four kinds of Shavuos Sheker, would
because he learns from Ruben Mir Shavuos, he would presumably disagree with Rebbe, who prefers to use Klal or Prat Klal.
So what are you telling me, therefore, that the Shavuos part of our Mishnah, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Abba, is going according to Rabbi Akiva, and Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Akiva, if apparently Rebbe does not agree with Rabbi Akiva? Ella, no, you have to answer, but Shavuos Nasiv Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. So fine, you have to answer when it comes to Shavuos, it's true, we still will say that our Mishnah is formulated according to Rabbi Akiva, not according to Rabbi Shmuel, because, however, however, Rebbe himself did not agree with that. Rebbe himself agrees with Rabbi Shmuel, but he formulated the Mishnah using Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Why would he do that? Different proportion. No, we didn't. But there's a couple. No, we took that we talked about Mishnah Leizaz of Ibn, but that was when we assumed Mishnah existed before Rebbe. Here we're talking about if Rebbe himself formulated it, why did he choose to formulate it according to opinion that he doesn't follow? So there's a couple of answers. One of them is because he wanted to use the form Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, which is like the other ones, Yediyas HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba, and so forth. Another possibility is maybe Rebbe himself didn't agree to it, but his Chachmei HaYeshiva did. So basically, kind of, they overruled him. So therefore, he went along. So fine, I myself disagree with it. I hold like not overrule really, but whatever. He was willing when he formulated the Mishnah. It doesn't just represent Rebbe is not sitting over there. Rebbe is not sitting over there up in an attic or something and writing the Mishnah all on his own. You have there's his Chachamim and his Talmidim or whatever who are there with him. If the majority of them held according to Rebbe Akiva, then he's going to bow to them. Okay, I don't have to agree with you. I myself hold the halacha ought to be like Rebbe Shmuel. However, I'm Lahatis, and therefore I'll write the Mishnah according to the way you guys understand it, which is according to the Rebbe. Yeah, like majority. Yeah. Oh, like a Druid. Yeah, I guess in that sense. Yeah. Okay, fine. So that's the bottom line then, is we're saying that of the two statements in our Mishnah about Yediyas HaTumah and about Shavuos, Yediyas HaTumah goes according to Rebbe Shmuel, that all four of those cases you have to bring a korban. Unlike Rabbi Akiva, who said, which now we're going to discuss why Rabbi Akiva holds differently. And when it comes to Shavuos, it's according to Rabbi Akiva that all four cases of Shavuos you would bring a korban. Okay, gufa. So now getting back to something that we mentioned in the previous discussion, we said minayim she'en chayev el al sheyesh v'yadiyah v'tchila v'yadiyah v'soif v'helam in time. We had said back in our Mishnah, the case where you're going to be chayev a korban for tumas mitzvah shekodshim, for going into the bes mitzvah, or eating kodshim, when we're tamei, we said there are. In order to be chayev, it has to be that you knew at the beginning that
then you forgot
and ate the kodshim or whatever, and then you remembered again. You realized later that I was tamei when this happened.
But if you didn't remember at the end, you would never even know to have this discussion.
Well, that's we said in the Mishnah that then you have the third apnimi of Yom Kippur. We said the goat whose blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, that's toilah, that's it's a temporary kapara until eventually we eventually expect that he's going to find out that he became Tomei and then he's going to bring his turban. Yeah. So the question is, how do we know that you need to have that structure? Yediyah, then Helam, then Yediyah.
Is this important to Rabbi Akiva?
According to everybody. Everybody agrees with it. Everybody agrees with that basic concept, but how we learn it is it. So, minayin shein chayiv el al sheyesh v'yidiyah v'tchilu v'yidiyah v'soif v'helam in time. Tamad leim v'nelam shnei pa'amim divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says the reason is because it says twice in the pasuk v'nelam. And we discussed yesterday the various explanations of the Rishonim, how exactly he learns from that. The bottom line is, though, according to all of them, what it comes out is, according to Rabbi Akiva, one v'nelam teaches us the concept of the structure that we just said, that you have helam bintayim, that you have a helam in the middle. The other one teaches us that there's only a certain kind of helam that makes you chayav for a korban. Namely, again, remember we said in the Mishnah that there are two kinds of things you could conceivably forget. You could forget that you're tamei, or you could remember that you're tamei and forget that this is kodshim, and not realize that this is kodshim that you just ate or whatever. Rabbi Akiva holds that only the second kind, that only the first kind is going to make you chayav in a korban. Only if you didn't know you were tamei. If you knew you were tamei, but you didn't know this is kodshim, no korban, says Rabbi Akiva.
Why is that? One v'nelam teaches us that you need to have a helam because you didn't do it. And the other v'nelam teaches you what kind of helam?
Only helam tumah. Only where you didn't know you were tamei. Rebbe Omer Enis Sarich. Rebbe says you don't need to darshan it that way. Harei Omer V'Nelam. The very fact that the Torah says the word V'Nelam, that it is hidden, Miklal Shiyoda, that itself implies that he knew beforehand and then forgot, because the Gemara is going to discuss, as the Gemara is going to discuss now, we're going to understand the word V'Nelam to mean necessarily not something that you never knew, that wouldn't be called V'Nelam, but rather something that you knew at one point and then forgot. Yeah. So therefore, in other words, Rebbe says that automatically Vanelam implies that there was a Yediyah. Vahu Yoda, then the pasuk continues that he knew. Harekan Shte Yediyah, so it says twice Yediyah. Imkein Matam Lem Vanelam. So why do you need the second word Vanelam? Which again, according to Rabbi Akiva, taught us that there was only one kind of helam that makes the only helam tumah. Rebbe says because we have both words vanelam available, therefore we can use l'chayim al helam tumah v'al helam mikdash. It can be either one. If you forgot that you were tumah, and or if you forgot that this is the base mikdash, either way you will be bringing the korban.
It's funny they use
it. So we'll discuss in the second parak. You could have a case of a person who doesn't even know that the base mikdash exists, but more down to earth, we're talking about, for example, we're talking about a person goes into a certain area and doesn't realize that the area he's in is a part of the base mikdash that he's also to enter when he's tumah. Yeah, you have the different zones in the base mikdash, right? I mean, I guess they were marked with walls or gates or what have you, but it could happen conceivably that a person walks in and doesn't realize that he was a chamber. I mean, it's a
semi-circle.
Oh,
and half of it is inside.
Half of it is Kodesh, half of it is Kodesh. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, it depends what level of tumor you are.
Is there like a red string?
No. There's ends of beams that stick out of the wall over there. Okay.
Funny that the second Nela, one interprets exclusively and the other one interprets exclusively.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. All right.
It's the same word, but one.
Okay.
For two things and one.
I guess so.
One thing.
Okay. So Omar Mar Vinela Miklal Shiyoda. Okay, so let's go back to that Braisa. We said that Rebbe is saying the very word Vinelam itself implies that you knew. The word Vinelam implies something that at one point you knew and then you forgot. The question is my mashma. Where do you get from that? Maybe Vinelam means you never knew about it. Omar Rava Midaloik Sibhi Menu. So Rava says the reason is because if it meant something that he never knew, then the expression would be Vihi Aluma Mimenu. It is concealed from him, implying that it was always concealed. Vine'elam implies like it's a verb, it happened that it became concealed from him, right? Okay, Omale Abaya, however, Abaya says, Elameyata, if you're going to use that kind of logic, the word Vine'elam implies something that you knew and then you forgot. Gabe Soita, consider the case of a Soita. Where what does the pasuk say that it's hidden from her husband? Well, Tosfos brings two different explanations. What are we talking about? What are we assuming that the husband knew or didn't know? Is it that she was in Sirah? Now we know when it comes to Sota, you have two different. Well, you have the kinner, yeah, we have the husband warned, so obviously he knows about that. But then you have the stira, where she was alone together with this guy, with or without Adim, as we learned about in Sota. Then you have, there can be stira, which if there was stira, if there's stira after kinnery, that is when she becomes a Sota, and she has to be brought to drink the Sota water, etc. And she's also to him until she drinks it. Then you can have, there can also be, there's tuma. There can be Adim that she actually became Tommy, that she actually was Mazana with this guy.
Which also makes her
also to him.
So what are we talking about that the husband didn't know that we're discussing, whether the husband knew or not? The first
mentioning an explanation that what we mean is, let's say, are we talking about that the husband knew that she became Tommy and then forgot about it? But Tosfos says, in that case, then why is he bringing her to drink the Sota water in the first place? So therefore, so Tosfos infers that answer, but then Tosfos says it's more straightforward to explain that the idea that we're talking about, that the husband knew and then forgot, is about the sphere. Are we assuming that he knew at one point that there was sphere, then he forgot, and now when he comes, and now when he's going to bring her to drink the soda water, now he remembers again that there was sphere. That's the question. If you're telling me Vinelam always implies something that you knew and then you forgot, how are you going to understand it over here? Are you going to say that it means that the husband knew that there was Sira, then forgot about it later, and then later on remembered again and then brings her to drink the soda water? Yeah, okay, but the problem with that is...
What's Nela? What is
from the eyes of her husband? So again, I'm saying, so Tosfos mentions one explanation that the Gemara is hypothesizing. Are we talking about he knew she became Tomei, then he forgot it, then he remembered again? But the problem is that the problem is that if he doesn't remember, if he remembers, then he has no reason to have her drink the soda water. He knows she's Tomei, period. And if he doesn't know, and if he doesn't remember, then there is, then if he doesn't remember, then why is he bringing her? Hidden from the eyes of her husband. No, Isha Aleph Shin Hei means the wife. Isha Aleph Yud Shin Hei Mafik Hei means her husband. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's what I'm saying. Tosfos prefers the explanation that we're talking about. The Gemara is hypothesizing. Are we talking about where he knew that she there was Sira? He knew that she was secluded with this guy. Then he forgot about it. Later on, he remembered again. But if that's what it means, he having the problem with it.
Physically, she disappeared from it.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, the cloud to have a yodim ikra. So what are you telling me? Yeah, and the edim. Yeah. So what are you telling me that v'neila me'ena isha implies that it's something that the husband knew to begin with? The problem with that is he have a yodim mibodka lamaya. But if he knows about such a thing, would the water and later on at some point after the sira he had relations with her? Mibodka lamaya, would the water even test her? It doesn't work. V'hatanya, we learn in Sota, v'nika ishme oven v'isha yitisa etabayna, when the pasuk says the man will be clear of guilt and the woman will, and that woman will bear her sin, meaning v'zmansha ishme nukum oven, only when the husband is clear of averus,
right.
Specifically, Rashi learns in general over here and in Sota that it means specifically the isser of having relations with her after the sira. The Rambam says it more generally that it means any kind of avera involving znus, whatever. The point is, only if he's clean of such avera, hamayim bodkin es isha, only then does the water test his wife. Eino ish menukum. No, it doesn't have to be a tzaddik, according to the Rambam. It doesn't mean that it has to be a tzaddik. It just means that he's not, that he didn't do any averas involving arayim. He could be a Rosh Merusha and everything else. He could be a liar and a cheater and break Shabbos and whatever, but as long as he's menukum oven, as far as arayim, then the water will test his wife.
Will do everything well.
Yeah, okay. And if a man is not clean of such averus, and again, according to Rashi, it's even more narrow. The oven, specifically the oven of having relations with his wife after she became also the soita, then ena mayim bodkin es ishta, then the water won't test his wife. So the point is, if you're going to say over here that he didn't realize in the middle that there was stira, and then at some point not realizing it, he figured, well, we're still regularly married, we still have relations, then the water is not going to work anyway. So why are we saying that in that case he's bringing her from Bei Sota? And in fact, there's an idea, the Magid Mishnah, rather the Mishnah Mamelach, and Rambam puts it like this. If a person forgets such an important thing, he's kind of amazing. He's the next thing to a Peshea. You can't say that he's Menukim Oven. You can't say it was an innocent mistake on his part. No. So obviously, the Ne'elam does not mean something that he knew beforehand and then forgot. But two, and furthermore, Rava says, Gabi Torah, let's consider another place where we have in Tanakh an expression v'nelam, or v'nelma, rather, by the Torah. The Pasuk says that the Torah is nelam from the eyes of all living creatures, and it's concealed from the birds of the heavens. What does that mean? Are you going to tell me v'nelam means the cloud de ikka de have a yada? You're telling me that it means that there was somebody who originally knew everything about the Torah and then forgot about it? Yeah, v'haksiv lo yoda enesh erka. You have a few psukim earlier. It says no man knows its true worth. It's beyond us. So obviously, v'nelam cannot mean something that you knew and forgot. So it can't be that is why Rebbe is saying that v'nelam, that the word v'nelam itself implies that you knew before. No, that doesn't work. Ela amar Abaye. So no, Abaye says here's a different explanation. What it is like this. Till now, we've been assuming, what are we talking about? Yediyah at the beginning means the person knew that he was Tomei, and then later on forgot it. Now we're going to present a new explanation of the word Yediyah. Yediyah means that the person knew to begin with that there is a concept that if you touch a sheretz or what have you, that you touch something Tomei, you become Tomei. Yediyah based Rebbe, that's Yediyah based Rabbi, that's called something that you learn in your Rebbe's cheder. Where any kid goes to cheder, any kid goes there as a little kid, you learn in cheder, you touch something that's tummy, you become tummy.
Yediyah means knowledge, basically.
And, right, so it means, you know, it's not knowledge that I became tummy. but not aware, right, not awareness, but knowledge. Not awareness, I became Tomei, but knowledge, there is a concept. If I touch something Tomei, I will become Tomei. So how is it over here then? So what happened? What did he forget later? So Rashi says that, for example, he touched the thing, but he didn't pay attention. It didn't occur to him at that point when he touched it that he became Tomei. Different other Rishonim talk about different other possibilities. It can be that he doesn't know that what he touched is a sheriff that will make him Tomei. He thinks that he touched some other creature, for example.
That's aware.
But it's a different kind of thing. In other words, so the point is, he knew to begin with the halacha, you touch something Tomei, you're going to become Tomei. But it could be, for example, like Rashi saying, he wasn't paying attention at the time. To think to himself, hey, I touched this thing, now I'm Tomei. Then he goes and eats kochim, and he only realizes it later. Or it could be, again, that he touched something, and he didn't realize at the time that it's something that makes him Tomei, and later on he found out that it is.
So there was no, right. He didn't know the halacha, or he didn't know that.
He knew the basic right. He didn't know that species, for example. He didn't know that particular species is one that's metame.
And then he went into the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Found out that is a hedgehog. So that's what Rebbe is saying. Benelam implies something that you knew to begin with, the concept. You knew the halacha. But later on, you didn't know at the time you touched it, you didn't realize what this is, or you didn't pay attention that what you're touching is something that's metamu.
You would know the halacha without knowing that it applied in this particular.
That's an example. That's what I'm saying. That's an example. The person touched a creature, and only later did you discover, hey, this is one of the Shemana Shrubs. Incidentally, by the way, it's interesting. Sham Shnafal Hirsch points out on the relevant pasuk in Vayikra, he says, you see from all Gemara over here, since the Gemara is going to say that everybody knows that, and the only thing the Gemara can find is a Tinik Shanishba who doesn't, the implication is that both men and women in those days learned these halachas even as little kids. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, Amalera Popola Baya, Elijah Katani. So then in that case, if our Mishnah gave the example.
That's what we learned in Sanhedrin. The yeshivas of Rabbi Abaya knew Tumah Torah, but the yeshivas of Rabbi Yehuda.
That's a different matter. They were doesn't say anything about women, but yeah. So Elijah Katani. So what about then our Mishnah continued? Ein bo yediyah b'tchila v'yesh v'yediyah v'sof. So we have the case, you didn't know at the beginning, and you found out later. Do you have any example of a person who never learned in Seder this concept that you touch something Tomei, you become Tomei? Amalei, and Rabbi answers, yes, Mashkacha Flava Tinik Shanishba Levein Anachrin. The case you can find is, for example, Tinik Shanishba, a little kid who grew up among the Goyim. That is the kind of thing, therefore, where the Mishnah is saying that's the kind of person who, therefore, is going to have the Seirim to be Mechapa for him.
That's prophetic.
Well,
it's prophetic.
Not we who are sitting over here aren't necessarily Tinik Shinish Bolivana Nakrim. We look. We're among the Goyim, sure, but I don't think you can say that we didn't learn in Cheder when we were kids that you touch something Tummy, you become Tummy. But okay.
That's true. We don't learn as much of these things nowadays because we don't have most of the similar power on applicable.
Okay. So one thing that would work. One thing that would mean, by the way, interesting, is, you know, we mentioned in the Mishnah, we had a number of different korbanos, a number of different chatoi tzibur that are brought on behalf of various cases of where a person didn't know at the beginning but later found out, a person didn't know at the beginning and never found out, etc. If we're saying, based on our Gemara over here, the whole case of not knowing at the beginning, according to Rebbe anyway, is the case where you're Tinik Shanishba, then it comes out, you have dozens, hundreds of korbanos being brought every year for the sake of the Tinokas Shanishbu, to be mechaper on them. They need a kapara because they still did something wrong. You don't know, but it's still. But the fact is, even a Tinik Shanishbu, but it's still an Avera, even if he didn't know. I mean, if you don't know, it's still.
Can you say that even if you know the Allah and you don't know the Pimus?
No. You know the halacha, yeah. But for example, in Shabbos, for example, the Gemara talked about over there, you have a Tinik Shanishba where, for example, for all his life he's been breaking Shabbos. When he eventually learns and finds out that the concept of Shabbos and there's 39 malachas, he's going to have to bring a chatas for collectively for all the Shabbatim that he broke. And he's going to have to bring another chatas for all the chelav that he ate all these years and another one for the dam that he ate all these years, etc. He still needs a kapara, yeah.
Today we cannot do that.
So that we learn the halachas of them, whatever. But okay.
Fair enough.
For now, it has to be on a Shabbat Parim Sfasenu. So now let's go on to the next thing in the Mishnah. Okay, so we've established, therefore, so far what the basic parameters of Yediyah Satrumah are, and we're going to deal with the with more of it later on. We're going to deal with it with more of it later on in the text. Now let's go on to the next thing in the Mishnah. We said Yediyah Shabbos Shayim Shein Arba. We said in our Mishnah, the Yediyah of Shabbos are two which are four. Now, we said, on the face of it, we said Yediyah of Shabbos means taking things out from one reshus into another. That's one of the things the Gemara is going to be analyzing over here. Is that, in fact, what Yediyah of Shabbos means? The two which are four. So if we explain in the Mishnah over there that it means, so you have the prototype in Shabbos, in the first Mishnah, is you have the Oni standing outside, the Balabais standing inside. You have one where the Balabais takes something from inside and puts it outside, where he's chayev for taking from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim. Another one where he takes something from outside and brings it in. Another one where the Oni takes something from outside and puts it in, and another one where the Oni takes something from inside and brings it out. However, now we're going to deal with whether that's the actual meaning of the Mishnah. Tanan Hoffman. Now, we learn the first Mishnah of Shabbos goes like that. Yediyah Shabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba B'Pnim, or Shtayim Shein Arba B'Chutz. You have two which are four inside, and two which are four outside. Inside and outside, so Rashi explains that inside means bringing things in from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and outside means bringing things out from Rosh Hashanah Yachid into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Tosfos has a problem with that explanation, and Tosfos gives a few other explanations. Bifnim can mean things that the Bala Bias, who's standing inside, is chayav for, whether it involves taking in or bringing out. Bachut would mean things that the Oni, standing outside, is chayav for, whether it involves bringing in or taking out. Another one is that it can mean that there are some cases where you're chayev and some cases where you're potter. Just for the balabais alone, for example, you can have. The Mishnah over there in Shabbos spells out. You have cases where he's chayev because he did the akira and the hanafa. For example, he took something from inside and put it down into the hand of the oni outside. And then you have a case where he's potter because he only did half a malacha. He picks up something from inside and puts it into the oni's hand, which is still inside, and the oni pulls it out, for example.
If he took something from inside, walks into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then comes back to his house, is he chayav?
Yeah, because he took out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
If
there's no hanacha in there, then technically not. Unless he carried four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Yeah, if he carried four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's another matter. But no, if he carried it less than four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and there was no hanacha, then no.
But more than four amos.
More than four amos, he'd be chayav anyway. Yeah. Actually, no, I think he'd still need hanacha there anyway. But okay, that's a matter for Masechta the Shabbos. So we'll deal with that in the next cycle. That's the shame. Okay. Right now, though, anyway. And okay. Tosfos mentions one other explanation, which is that bifnim means things for which you chayev to bring a korban in the Beis Hamikdash, and bachus means things that your kapara doesn't take place in the Beis Hamikdash, meaning that you're potter from bringing a korban.
So anyway, three meanings. The person, not the object, but the
transfer. Is it inward or outward? Okay, fine. Okay. Anyway, so the question is like this. So why is it in our Mishnah all it says is the word Shtayim Shein Arba without specifying Bifnim and Bachutz? Or Maishnahochad the Tani Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim or Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz? Why is it in the Mishnah and Shabbos it spells out that you have two which are four Bifnim and two which are four Bachutz? So either the question is why isn't there that level of detail over here, or if I can't, why is it give that level of detail over there, whatever.
It doesn't apply here.
What do you mean it doesn't apply there? It's the same. We're talking about Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos.
Huh.
So the answer is, Hosam de Ikka Shabbos, through their Masechta Shabbos, is the main place to talk about Hilchos Shabbos. Tony Ovis the Toldos. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to mention not only the Ovis, but also the Toldos. Now, when it comes to the Isser, when it comes to the Malacha of taking out and bringing in, in general, the rule is the Av Malacha is what's said in the Torah explicitly, what that they did for the Mishkan. The Tolda is things that it doesn't say explicitly, but we derive from. In this case, where do we learn the whole concept of that carrying from one reshus to another is also on Shabbos? We said in the Mishnah, we actually had said on the Mishnah, that we learn it from, says that the Vaisav Moshe Vayavir Kilba Machne, says that Moshe had an announcement made, Ish V'Ishal Yatsu Oid Malacha, nobody should be doing any Malacha for the Mishkan, Malacha meaning carrying. And where were they carrying? From Rishus HaYachid, from their own tent, into Rishus HaRabim, into the suite over there where all the material was being piled up. So that's what Gemara explains over there in Shabbos, because we have from the word vayaviru implies that it means carrying. But the point is the type of carrying that's talking about over there in the pasuk is taken from Rosh Hashanah from their tent into Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say anything in the pasuk over there about the other way around, taking from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah.
How do we know?
Therefore, so that's a tolda. It's a tulda that you have for the av malacha is out into Rosh Hashanah, and the tulda is bringing in from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. So in Shabbos, where we want to talk about Hilchos Shabbos, because that's the Masechta dedicated for that. So we mentioned both the av and the tulda. We mentioned both the bringing in and the taking out. Hacha, the lav ikar Shabbos through here, our Masechta is not primarily about Shabbos. It's primarily about Shavuos. So therefore, we're only mentioning it incidentally. Ovis Tani, the Tolus by Tani. So therefore, it only mentions the Ovis, and it doesn't bother mentioning the Tolus.
In other words, we're it not only contradicting each other.
Yeah, it's not contradicting. Because here, we're just saying the general, we're just mentioning the Av Malacha, which is taking out from Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so then in that case. I don't know why it's worse, but an Av and a Tolda is not necessarily that a Tolda is worse than the Av. All it is the Av is something that they did in the Mishkan, and a Tolda is something that has a similar effect, but was not something specifically that was done for making the Mishkan. For example, let's say the Malacha of Zerea, the Malacha of planting, let's say, for example. The actual Malacha that they did in the Mishkan for planting is actually planting a seed into the ground in order to grow the plants that they needed for the dyes or whatever. A tulda of that, for example, would be promoting the growth of a plant, watering it, let's say, or pruning it or whatever. We don't specifically find that they did such things for the Mishkan, therefore it's a tulda. So by the same logic over here, tulda is still daraisa, yes, but it's not something that's explicitly found in connection with the Mishnah, in connection with the Mishkan, right? So the same thing over here, that they took things out from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah to build the Mishkan, that we know. That they brought things in from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, they did do that, but we don't find it as explicitly, therefore it's a tulda. So our Mishnah, which is just trying to, generally speaking, tell us the structure, isn't going to get into that level of detail, isn't going to bother mentioning the tolda, which is hachnaza, which is bringing in.
But even about Sefer Shalom, how do we know if it's just implied that it exists?
Because we learn
logical.
Yeah, because we learn that there are obvious and we learn that there are toldas. We learn that every malacha has an av and has toldas. And we have to learn the Gemara Shabbos to see that. But we learn that for each malacha, the Torah is not only asking the specific type of thing they did in the Mishkan, but other similar things that have a similar effect, even if they weren't actually done in the Mishkan.
Where do we know the concept from?
I don't remember the exact thing that we learned the concept from, but whatever it is, we know that concept. It's a given. Yeah, it's seven
shabbos.
Maybe it's a halacha mishkan. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, indeed. Okay, so then, I don't remember the actual limud, but whatever. Okay, fine. So obvious my new yitzias, fine. In that case, then what are the obvious malachas? The av malacha of Shabbos in that case is yitzias, is taking out. In that case, yitzias tauti having. In that case, you only have two kinds of taking out. One where the oni takes something from inside and brings it outside. One where the balabos takes something from inside and takes it outside. If you're going to say shtayim shein arba, yeah, where are the other two?
The
chitema mehem lechiyu mehem lepur.
This is the question I'm asking.
Yeah. So you're going to answer. You're going to answer. That's fine. Maybe what the Mishnah is saying is you have two cases where the chayev, where the oni or the balabas did the entire malacha, the akira and the hanacha, and then you have two other cases where one did the akira and the other did the hanacha and the potter. So you can have a third kind of haitzah would be where the balabas picks up something from inside, puts it into the hand of the oni, and the oni carries it outside. Or vice versa, where the oni, where the balabais puts his hand out the window and the oni takes something from him. In those cases, they're potter because neither one did both the akira and the hanacha. So if you're going to say that's what the Mishnah means, the problem is v'adum yidamaris negayim katani. But our Mishnah mentions Yitzias HaShabbos and also mentions Maris Negoyim, the various shades of color that make a person Tomei as Tzaraas. Mahosim Kul L'Chiyuvah. In the case of Tzaraas, it's not some of them you're Tomei and some of them you're not. All of them you're equally Tomei.
Oh boy.
The same thing. Mahosim Kul L'Chiyuvah. The same thing when it comes to Shabbos. All of them have to be things that you'd be Chayev for.
And
we can't be talking. So therefore, we can't say that Yitzias HaShabbos means the ones that you're Chayev Daraisa and the ones that are only awesome Midrabanan. Because then it wouldn't be the same as Maris Negoyim. And if you're going to say, on the other hand, that our Mishnah means both the Haitzah and the Hachnasa, then you're back to listing the Obos and you're listing the Toldos. In that case, the Mishnah should be giving us the whole details that you have Bifnim and you have Bachot. What? Yeah, sure. Okay. So the answer, Ela Omer Rapapa. So no, Rapapa says, rather, we have to say like this. pasam de ikka shabbos tanichi yuri of turi. The difference is like this. Over there, no, but it's a different thing. It's not obvious and Torah. When it comes to Masechta Shabbos, because we want to learn Hilchos Shabbos over there, therefore the Mishnah tells us not only the ones you chayav midaraisa, but also the ones where you potter, namely osur midrabanan, but you're not chayav a korban or skill or what have you daraisa. Hacha over here chiyuv etani or pturi leitani. Fine, over here it lists all the chiyuvim. So not like we said before, it lists only obvious, not toldus. It does list the toldus as well. Shtayim shein arba implies that you have two obvious and two toldus. But of Tura, Leitani, our Mishnah though does not want to bother listing the cases where you only chayev midrabanan. The cases where you only osur midrabanan, and that belongs to Masechta Shabbos. Therefore, our Mishnah just says shtayim shein arba, namely two cases of hotzah that are listed explicitly in the Torah, from which you can derive two cases of achnasa that are not explicitly listed but are told this, but they're still osur daraisa. As far as the details, b'fnim and b'chutz, that already gets into ones where you have, where one does the akira and the other does the hanocha, which is only also d'rabbanan, and our Mishnah doesn't have to deal with that. Okay. So then in that case, my new yitzias, fine, but then you're back to the question, so what you chayav on? That would be the yitzias, the taking out. The Mishnah after all said yitzias hashabbos. Taking out again, you see it's pouty who to have. And again, you only have two kinds of taking out that you're chayav for. And in that case, then what do you mean shtayim shein arba? If it meant taking out and carrying in, it shouldn't have used the word yitzias, which implies only carrying out. Then it's shtayim daisa or shtayim dachnosa. Well, that's what it means. It means two taking out and two bringing in.
It's yitzias from one reshus to
another. That's what the Gemara is going to give that one answer, yeah. Well, how yitzias, Kasani? But the question is, what do you mean? It says the word yitzias, which means taking out. Amar Rabashi, Tana hachnosanami hoitzah korilah. Our Tana uses the word hoitzah to mean also hachnosa, also bringing it.
In other words, from Rishus
to Rishus. From Rishus to Rishus, right.
Meanwhile, how do you know that? Because you have a Mishnah
in Masechta Shabbos that says hamotzi mirishus lirishus chayev. The last malacha of the 39 malachas, it says hamotzi mirishus lirishus. Somebody who takes out from rishus to rishus. And we know that includes both. Miloy askin and dekama ayol ayuli. Hamotzi mirishus lirishus equally well means when you bring out into rishus rabim versus when you bring in to rishus yachid. Okay, thank you. V'kakori loy haitzah. And yet the Mishnah is calling it haitzah mirishus lirishus. So then we see
the word hitzah can also include achnos. Joseph points out, by the way, in that case, I mean, you have in that mission in Shabbos,
39 obvious malachas, it doesn't list any of the toldos. If we're saying achnos is a toldo, why is the Gemara assuming it should be included? And the answer is, because actually, like this, it's a shorter way of saying it. Because if you say Hamotzi Mirushus Yachid, Lirushus Rabim, that's a longer way of saying it. To say Hamotzi Mirushus Lirushus is much shorter, and it includes both. So therefore, the Mishnah has no problem with a wording hamotzi merushos l'rushos, meaning an av hotzah and a tolda hachnasa, because actually that's a shorter way of saying than saying explicitly only the av.
But what is it? If it's from rushos to rushos, really the hotzah of one rushos is an achnasa and another rushos. So how can you say?
So that's the Gemara is going to use that answer in a couple of lines, right? But right now we're saying that hamotzi merushus l'rushus in itself includes hachnasa. Yeah.
Right now we're saying
that your word yitzias means hachnasa as well. Yeah, for reasons that the Gemara is going to say in a couple of lines. But right now we're establishing that can be so.
Right.
Tosfos gives a different answer. Rabbi Natan gives a different answer because the whole concept that you should be chayev for carrying something from one rishus to another rishus is a bit of a chiddush anyway. It's not a real full-fledged malacha in a certain sense. Gemara and Shabbos calls it malacha grua. It's like a lower level kind of malacha, so to speak. You're not actually changing the thing or whatever. So therefore, the Mishnah finds reason. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to use the word hamotzi mirushus l'rushus to inform us when it comes to this malacha grua. Don't think unlike the other malachas, it doesn't have toldus. Don't think that unlike the other malachas, it doesn't have toldus. No, it has toldus as well, namely achnas. So the question is, b'dumo kamapik mirushos yachad l'rushos rabim. Still, who says maybe the word hamotzi mirushos l'rushos means only taking out from rushos yachad into rushos rabim? The answer is in Cain, if that's what it meant. Nisni hamotzi mirushos yachad l'rushos rabim. Then it would say exactly that from rushos yachad to rushos rabim. My mirushos l'rushos. Why did he use the generic expression from rushos to rushos? Dafilo mirushos yachad l'rushos rabim l'rushos yachad. It means even if you're taking from rushos rabim to rushos yachad, v'kakori lo haitzah. And it's being called haitzah. The time of my, and what is the underlying reason? What's the logical reason to do that?
Meaning, is it because it's a tulva, or is it because
Why should we call taking something in from the street? Why should we call it aitzah?
Right.
Tana kol akidas chayfetz memakayim haaitzah karila, because the Tana calls anything where you're taking something out of where it was right up until this point, he calls it haaitzah. You're taking it out of the reshus that it was in, right?
Even if
we thought that taking out means taking out from an enclosed area. Now we say taking out means taking out from the rishon. Amar Ravina. So Ravina says masnisin nami day. So yeah, as a matter of fact, you can see that from the actual wording of the Mishnah itself. Because on Yitzias Shabbos, Shaim Shein Av Rishnim or Shaim Shein Av Bachut become a parash achnasa. Because you see, the Mishnah starts off in Shabbos saying Yitzias the Shabbos, the takings out. But then it gives the example of the Balabai taking something in and the Ani bringing something in.
So we know.
So we see, therefore, automatically that the word Haitzah has to include Achnasa as well. Has to include Achnasa as well, because the Mishnah gives us example of Achnasa. Okay. Rava Amar Rishuyas Katani. Rava says a different answer. What the Mishnah means when it says Shtayim Shein Abra means there's two Rishuyas. Rishuyas Shabbos Shtayim means there are two Rishuyas of Shabbos, Midaraita, Rishus Yachad and Rishus Rabin. Which there are four different dinim that come into play when you're dealing with those two rishuyas.
That's all an achnasa. So this expression goes like Rava?
No, we have all these different explanations. No, Rava is saying to begin. You thought that yitzias Shabbos means takings out, and therefore you had a problem with that because you also had bringing in. No, the word yitzias itself means rishuyas. It means the rishuyas of Shabbos are the two types of rishuyas of Shabbos. Which there end up being four dinim that are involved with them.
That's according to
Robert. That's fine. That's what Robert means. That the word yitzias does not mean taking out. It means rishuyas. How many rishuyas are there? Midaraita, there are only two. Rishus Yachid and Rishus Rab. And Mephoshim say a reason for that is because they bring from a Targum that when you have a posuk
that we have a process by the borders of
Eretz Yisrael, that says, the ends of this particular segment of the border will be such and such. The one of the Targumim uses the expression Rashvasa for that. So we see that Rishus and Haitzah have a certain connection. It's Aramaic, I mean the plural of Rishus. So yes. Okay.
So that's that. So on Shabbat, either it means you see it as Rishus, or it means
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Yetzias implies that achnasa is a tulva, or it's
rishuyas? We definitely established that achnasa is a tulva, but we had different ways of explaining the Mishnah. Is it that our Mishnah is listing only the ovis and not the tuldas? Is it that our Mishnah is listing the ovis and the tuldas, but only the ones you chayev, not the ones you potter? Or is it that our Mishnah is not even addressing the question of what's an av and what's a tulda? The Mishnah is saying that you see at the Shabbos that there are two types of rishuyas when it comes to Shabbos, and then within those rishuyas you have different dinim. I saw achnasa of one. So you have different answers. Different answers. Yeah, it's not negeah lahalacha, these answers. No, none of these answers are negeah lahalacha. They're just negeah to how do you understand the words of the Mishnah. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. So all of them are equally valid. Yeah.
Okay.